Lesson number four tonight in our series regarding the King is coming. And by the way, the King is coming. The King is coming. It is imminent. We've been talking about that. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, pardon me, the next time he comes, he's not coming to die on a cross. He's not coming to lay down his life. That's already been done. When he comes, it will be in the air. We'll be caught up together with him, those of us that are saved. And that'll begin the seven-year tribulation. We'll talk about that. We'll go to heaven with him for those 7 years. We'll come back to rule and reign. He'll be ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. And again, that'll be a time of great peace for those 1,000 years, because Satan himself will be chained in a bottomless pit. And there'll be a whole lot of good things in that period of time. But again, he's not coming to be the meek and mild lamb. That day's over, and he's now the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so I would encourage you tonight to be ready for Christ's return. What does that mean? Well, it means if you're not saved, that's the first step. Because if you're not saved and you're hearing the gospel and you've heard it over and over again, I don't know all the minute details. I'm not going to sit here and claim that I know everything and all the minute details, but when the Lord returns, if you've rejected the gospel time and time again, I have a hard time believing that you'll be able to receive the gospel again. I'm not going to sit here and say that's definite, but I'm going to say I wouldn't gamble on my soul to wait and say, well, I'll get saved after all the Christians leave. I don't think I would think like that. Because, you know, the Bible says that Satan will give a strong delusion. What's a strong delusion? Means he'll make people think things they don't want to think. And they'll come to the place, I believe, where they won't want to receive the Lord even. All that being said, you're still here now. The gospel's being presented again tonight. If you don't know the Lord, of course, you must make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. Matthew 24:21, we read it earlier. The Bible says, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Great tribulation. We have those key words, and the lesson title is, What Happens in the Great Tribulation? If you remember the days of Enoch, Enoch was a man in the Old Testament that says Enoch walked with God. And there was one day when Enoch was walking with God, and all of a sudden, Enoch was no longer. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And we believe that that is a picture of this snatching away of the believers prior to the tribulation. Another picture of that we see is when Enoch was pulled away. When was he pulled away? He was pulled away prior to the flood. Of course, Noah and his sons were all spared because they got in what? What did they get in? The ark, right? Remember, the ark is a picture of who? Jesus Christ. If you got in the ark, you did not face the judgment of God. So if we get in Christ someday when Christ returns in the air, we won't face the judgment of God. We will never face the judgment of God if you're saved. Never, never, never. And so we see this picture of Enoch even being done that way. Genesis 5:24 gives us a biblical indication of that. Would you turn now to the Revelation in chapter number 3? Revelation chapter 3. Does anyone need a Bible? I'm sorry, I forgot to ask earlier. Does anyone need a copy of God's Word? Thank you, Brother Kim. I think we're good to go. If you need one, please let us know. We were able to give someone a Bible this morning that did not have a Bible. Aren't you glad for that? That we have we're a church, right? We should have the Bible to give away. And thank God for his word. Boy, without it, we'd be in lots of trouble. Revelation 3:10 says, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I will keep thee from the hour of trial, the hour of temptation. We believe this is a promise that we as God's children will not be part of the tribulation. But we will be caught up, as we've said many, many times over. So a few things that will not happen when Jesus comes. Firstly, when Jesus comes, by the way, the next time Jesus comes, it's not on the earth. The next time Jesus comes, it's in the clouds. What won't happen is, number one, the world does not come to an end when Jesus comes. You know, a lot of people say the world's coming to an end. Yes, that's coming one day, but not when the Lord Jesus returns. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:10, 2 Peter 3:10, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But this occurrence is not until after the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 1,000-year reign. So when Jesus comes in the clouds, we go up with him. The dead in Christ rise first. We go up with him. Things continue on. Now, they'll never be the same. And if you think this world's in a mess now, it's nothing compared to what happens, as we're going to look at in a minute, because you figure when all the believers are taken out of this world, who's indwelling every believer? Who's indwelling every believer? No, today, who's in you if you're saved? Holy Spirit, right? So can you imagine? Right now we have the Holy Spirit on this earth in the form inside every believer here tonight. So when all the saints are caught up, guess who's leaving this earth? The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's in us. So think about how it will be, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, now we'll go to that in a minute. Number two, the unsaved dead will not be raised when Christ comes. We find that in Revelation 20, verse 5. If you're in Revelation 20, verse 5, the unsaved. So they're still going to be in the grave because their judgment has not come yet. Revelation 20, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. What are we saying? We're saying that when Christ returns, the dead in Christ rise. But what about the dead not in Christ? They don't rise. They're staying right there, but the judgment's coming. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And they will stand before God and be judged because they did not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there will be absolutely no hope for them. The Bible says in Revelation that I found, John saw this, right? This vision. He said that I found no place for them. I think that's one of the most sobering statements in all of the Bible. I found no place for them. No place with the Lord. Thirdly, when Jesus returns in the clouds, the church will not be left to go through the tribulation. Will not be left. With Anchor Baptist Church, we hold to a pre-tribulation rapture position. And yes, I'm aware there are two other positions. We're going to focus on the one that we hold tonight. So, that's doom and gloom right there, because when Jesus comes in the air, the dead that are not in Christ aren't rising. We're out of here. The Holy Spirit's going. We're going. The Holy Spirit's going. And so... what happens? Number one, as we said earlier, number one, what does happen when he returns? Here's what happens. Number one, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. Number one, the saints will be caught up. Okay, the saints will be caught up. By the way, a saint is not someone in the Catholic Church that is given sainthood. Okay, I'm not being unkind, I'm making fun, I'm just saying that's not a Bible saint. A Bible saint is someone who has been saved. So tonight, if you're here and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not dead, you're still alive, you're looking at me right now, right? You're breathing. If you're breathing, raise your right hand this time. This morning it was your left. Man, we have some hands not even up. Okay. We're good. Royal Columbians right over here, so we might need help. We switched from the left hand to the right hand just to see if you were awake, okay? You're sitting here tonight. You're not in heaven, but you do have eternal life, by the way. You already have it. Praise the Lord. Eternal life does not happen when I die. Jesus said, or John wrote in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have it immediately. So you're still with us, and I'm still with you, but we're just as good as in heaven. But we're already a saint. We're already a saint. Saints of God are saved people. Praise the Lord for that. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them," like Enoch, right? Enoch walked with God, and then, boop, he was gone. That's what's going to be happening. One of these days, we're going to be wherever we're going to be, if we're still, if we're still above 6 feet, and we're going to be walking down the road, we're going to be at work, we're going to be whatever, we're going to be at home, and then, boom, that trumpet's going to sound, and it's going to be like, just like that, and we're going to be gone. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. Paul writes here to the church at Corinth. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment." In a moment. And we talked about this last week. "In the twinkling of an eye," how fast is that? "At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So, what happens at the return of the Lord? Number one, the saints will be caught up. Number two, what happens? The Holy Spirit will be taken out of the world. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. Right before 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Evil is somewhat hindered now by the Spirit of God, but at this moment he will be taken away and it will get even worse." 2 Thessalonians 2:7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken," what? "Out of the way." In reference to the Spirit of God. Of course, soon the Antichrist will be revealed. I'm talking about after we've been caught up, the Antichrist will be revealed. And again, he'll put on a mask for the first 3.5 years. He'll look really good. He'll be bringing peace, even to Israel, and then the mask comes off for the great tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, those second 3.5 years. So we have the saints are caught up, the Holy Spirit is taken out. Then number three, the tribulation begins once the saints and the Spirit are taken out. Let's go to Daniel 12. Daniel 12. What is this great tribulation? What is this time? It is a time of God's judgment. It's a time of God's judgment because of the rejection of his Son. And these are choices that mankind has made and are continuing to make. Although we read in Romans chapter number 1 that God has put it in the heart of man, in every man, the existence of God. Brother Bobby Bonner said many years ago when he was here, he's a missionary to Zambia for many years. He was a Major League Baseball player for the Baltimore Orioles. God called him to preach, and he left behind a career of baseball. Left behind, I'm sure, thousands and thousands, and back in that day, maybe even millions, I don't know, but it was a long time ago. But he made this statement. He never met an atheist in the bush. Because he did a lot of work way back in the bush of Zambia. And what he was saying is that even the people way back in the bush that had no access to education, they knew there was a God. They may not have said, you know, we believe there's a God, his name is Jehovah, and so forth and so on. They may not have known all those terms, but they knew there was a God because an atheist is educated that way. No one is born an atheist. Read Romans 1 sometime for background on that. Every man has it in his heart, the knowledge of God. But when man pushes the knowledge of God out, that's man's choice and problem at that point. And it's a very dangerous place to get, by the way. So when this tribulation starts, it's because of the rejection of God by mankind. Daniel 12, 1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble." Notice the wording. "Such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time." Again, we might look at current events in our day and we say, there's a lot of trouble going on in this country and in this country, this country. But Daniel here says, in this tribulation, it's never been like this ever before. "And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book." We'll talk about that in a minute, the book. But Daniel here calls it a time of, maybe you want to circle it, time of trouble. Jeremiah gives us another definition of it, another wording of it. If you want to just turn back a couple of pages to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble." There's your terminology there, the time of Jacob's trouble. "But he shall be saved out of it." So we have the time of trouble. We have the time of Jacob's trouble. Let's go back to Daniel. I know we're bouncing back and forth a little bit. Let's go back to Daniel 9, verse 27. These are close by each other. And we find here the length of the tribulation of 7 years. Daniel 9, 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." 1 week in prophetical terms is 7 years. So right now we're at week 69 of 70, by the way. Again, that's another subject, but we're at week 69. We're waiting, we're in the church age, and everything's just kind of stopped. And we're waiting for the prophetic calendar to start. And when that calendar, when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds, that begins Daniel's 70th week. So we're in week 69, paused. And then the 70th week starts, and that's the 7 years of the tribulation that we're talking about here tonight. Verse 27, "And in the midst of the week," in the midst of the week, so that's the halfway point. That's why we say it changes at 3.5 years. "He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." In other words, he's saying there that at the midst of the 7 years, at 3.5 years, it becomes even more troublesome, more weariness. We find the description again of this tribulation if we want to go now and I think we'll be toward the end of our Bible for the rest of the time, to Revelation chapter number 9. We get another description of it here. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation 6 to 18, if you want to read through those chapters this week, give us a full picture of the tribulation. 6 to 18. Notice what it says in Revelation 9, 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. I mean, that's how desperate these desperate people are. And shall desire to die. And death shall, what does it say? Flee from them. Wow. I'm not sitting here tonight telling you that I understand all of this down to the nth degree. But I can understand in just looking at it in those words, what they're saying there is there, it's going to be so desperate in the tribulation time that men and women will wish they were dead and would love to find a way. And I'm not trying to be morbid. This is just what this is what's coming, by the way. There's nothing pretty about the tribulation. Nothing. This is why if we know this as God's people, regardless of the position that you may hold regarding when all this is going to happen, it's going to happen. There's going to be a judgment. God's wrath is going to be poured out. There's going to be a time where people are going to wish they could somehow just die, and they're not going to be able to die. Why? Because the judgment is going to be that fierce. Why? Because the rejection of the Son of God comes with a price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That is not just my body is dead. That's my soul or my spirit, if you will, that are going to die for all eternity. In Revelation 16, I won't read through them, but we find seven vials of wrath that will be poured out on the earth. This last 3.5 years, we could literally say, and I'm not... Again, we talked about the tongue this morning, but it literally will be hell on earth. War and bloodshed will be the order of every day. What we have today in 2026 is, it's beautiful. I mean, it's nothing. This is yet to come. So as we think about this, I hope it sobers us a bit. We have three observations. Number one, because of this, number one, the world faces dark and fearful days. No matter what you hear about leaders of nations saying our economy is doing this, our economy is doing that, now in some places it's not doing well at all, but there's no peace and prosperity that's going to come apart from a relationship with the Lord. We live in an age, and the age is even growing with wars and rumors of wars. But the wars of the tribulation and even the battle of Armageddon, which we'll cover in this series as well, are yet to come. I'm glad tonight that I have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, I am thankful that what I read in my Bible regarding the tribulation, I will not be here for it. I have the utmost confidence in this book right here and in my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is not going to be something that I'm going to be involved in. Hallelujah. And I don't say that pridefully because it's what I deserve, by the way. I don't deserve to be in heaven. That's only by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? It's the gift of God. What do I deserve? I deserve God's judgment. What do you deserve? God's judgment. But because God is merciful, he let Jesus Christ come and die and pay the penalty. I don't understand this. How that one, I know because he's God, but I'm just saying, everybody that ever born of woman could be saved because of his precious blood could be applied to their account. And if it's never been applied to your account, what are you waiting for? I have about 10 people by name that I pray for. Now, we have a whole list of people that are unsaved, and I'm praying for the people on that list as well. But I have 10 people besides those names of people every day, every morning. Normally before about 7 a.m. Some days I don't get up and around by then, but if I'm not feeling well. But most days I'm up very early, not as early as some of you. But I'm up early, and I'm praying especially for those people to get saved. Because I don't want them to experience what we just read about. We didn't even read Revelation 16. You can read that. The world faces dark and fearful days. Secondly, please listen carefully. This is the time for professors, and it's not talking about if you have the notebook there, it's not talking about people that are at UBC and Simon Fraser, okay? It's people that profess to be Christians. There's two different words that I like to use. Someone probably told me about it. You have the word profess, and then you have the word possess. You can profess, but not possess. So the statement is, this is the time for professors to make sure that their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you still have Revelation open, let's look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Okay, so I'm showing you this because these people that we're reading about here, they're still on earth. They're not with the Lord. So their names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So it's very important that we know that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you turn over a few pages to chapter 20. These are two verses, by the way, 14 and 15 are very good verses for you to have to share with people. You're sharing the gospel with them. Let's go ahead and read verse 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is a great verse to connect. If you take this verse and connect it with Romans 6:23, this is a great verse to do that with because Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. I think I just quoted that a minute ago. That word death there in Romans 6:23 is exactly the same as what it's talking about here that John writes in Revelation 20:14. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the wages of sin is not just dying and going into the cemetery, although that is part of sin. Sin does bring physical death. But what this is talking about is something far greater than me dying and being buried in a grave. This is talking about a spiritual death that never ends. And you can see that in verse 14. This is the second death. Then he writes, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Once that takes place, that's it. I think it's it far before that. Okay, so we're sitting here tonight, and we're in a Bible-preaching church, but that doesn't mean everybody here is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I'm not here to scare anybody. That's not my point. My point is for us, as the Word of God says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. So the moment you got saved, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name was entered in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to doubt that. You don't have to wonder tonight. If you've been saved, it's settled. You're saved not by your good works. You're saved not by getting baptized. You're saved not by being a pastor or whatever. You're saved through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I know tonight that I can assure you that if you've accepted Christ as Savior, that it's not just a profession that, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, okay, whatever, I'm a Christian. No, that it's genuine. You know, there's a lot of people that will just say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. They don't even know. They have no idea what that means. They may just say that because they're not a Muslim, and I'm not just picking on the Muslims, or they're not a Hindu, or they're not whatever. They just say, I'm a Christian. Yep, grandma was a Christian. Dad was a Christian, so I'm a Christian. That's not how you become a Christian. Christian does not come by your birth. Now, praise God, many of us, maybe you had a family that was Christian at birth, but many of you did not. By the way, be glad that's not how it works, right? No, to become a Christian means there was a time in your life when you recognized that you were a sinner. This is maybe not popular, okay? But we're not here to be popular. We're here to be truthful. And the Bible says, all have sinned. As far as I know, that means everybody here is part of the all. Okay? So you have sinned. God is holy. He does not allow sin into his presence. This is why, if you read in the book of Ezekiel, you're going to read about how his number one angel, full of all these beautiful stones and pipes, and he could make the music like you wouldn't believe, and all of this beauty was on him, and it all went to his head. And one day he made a decision, and he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. And God said, no, you're not. God created Lucifer. He didn't create the devil, by the way. That's false teaching. He created a beautiful angel. And this angel said, I want to be more than God. And God said, no. And so the Bible says, iniquity was found in him. In who? The angel. And that angel would become Satan. And now, from that time until now, he's done everything he can to destroy, defeat what God loves. First thing God created was the home. You know what? Satan hates the home. He hates every marriage because it's a picture. What's it a picture of? Jesus Christ and the bride. He attacks marriage with all double barrels. Second thing God created was government. Yes, God, and Satan attacks government. Third thing God created was the church. He didn't start with the church, by the way, but it's part of God's creation. You know what Satan hates? The church. He hates the church and anything the church stands for. So if a church holds this book up and says, thus saith the Lord, God, Satan hates that place. You know, if a church doesn't preach the Bible and a church preaches false teaching, Satan says, keep it up. Yeah, I believe that. There's a lot of places that have called themselves churches, and I don't mean to laugh about it, but have called themselves churches that are they're nowhere near a church. Satan keeps them going. Because they're spreading false teaching. You know, like you have to be good to go to heaven. You do realize that's false teaching. Satan loves it when a church preaches that type of message. How good do you have to be? You can't find it in the Bible. It's nowhere. Because it's not true. You can't be good to go to heaven. You go to heaven by the grace of God. That's all there is to it. You know what? Mankind makes it complicated. Man gets in there and he invents what we call religion. Now we've got how many religions in this world? I don't know, I lost count. But you'll never get to heaven by a religion. You only get to heaven through a relationship with God, through Jesus Christ. So what am I saying? I got to get back on track because we're almost done. Are you a professor or a possessor? Has what you said with your mouth made a connection with your heart? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. A lot of times people say things with this mouth that they don't believe with their heart. Thou believe with thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Skip down to verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you need to be saved? I hope this message, I have nothing about me, but I hope the words of this book, if you're not saved and you walk out of here still not saved, I hope that before the night is out, you will be thinking about this and God will wake you up in the middle of the night. And you'll be sweating. I mean that. Because I don't want anybody to go through what we just read about, and we didn't even read about an nth degree of it. I don't want anybody to go through that. I want you to be saved. Not just to avoid judgment, but to have a joyful life now. It's not just about this, but that's our theme for tonight. So, thirdly, this is the time, and this is where, oh boy, I tell you, we have so much to work on. Pray for Anchor Baptist Church. This is the time to go after the lost and win them to Christ. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I don't know how many gospel tracts we have back there tonight, but really we should have none left over. Seriously, when this meeting's over, unless your purses and pockets are stocked with them already, they should all be taken when we leave. Because if you're a Christian and you know the Lord, that means you love the Lord, you love the lost. Because if you love the Lord, and I love the Lord, and I need to love him greater, I haven't arrived, okay? But if we love the Lord like we should, that means we're going to love what God loves. You know who God loves? The lost. Yeah. That's why he sent Jesus. For God so loved the world. That's not talking about the cosmos, the globe. It's talking about people. God loves sinners. Remember when Jesus came? I didn't come to call the righteous. So if we're sitting here tonight saying, I'm not a sinner, well, take this the right way, then Jesus didn't come to save you. You do realize that's the truth. Jesus came to save sinners. Kind of a play on words, okay? He did come to save you, but if you don't think you need him, then why would he have come for you if you don't think you need him? Look, we all need him. And the devil is such a great deceiver. This is not the time for Anchor Baptist Church to do less with the gospel. This is the time for us to do more with the gospel. Give more of our time. Take the gospel tracts, not just hold them, hand them out. And pray and ask the Lord, God, use this one tract. You do realize we have so many illustrations of one tract and what it's done in so many lives. Rod's down here tonight because of one tract. Now other things too, but God used one gospel tract and he's down here tonight. Joey and Joy have been in Anchor Baptist Church for many, many years because one flyer in their mailbox. One tract given to this young lady down here. She's still a young lady. This young lady down here at the SkyTrain by Abby from Nigeria, no less. And she's been here for years. Why? One tract. You say, of course that wasn't everything, but that's a big part of it. And I don't know, maybe that's your story. Mark got one track in the mailbox. You say, we just don't know which one is the one. That's why we can't say, well, it's not worth it. I never see anything. You know what? The songwriter said, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Oft times the day seems long. Our trial's hard to bear. We've all borne a few of those. We're tempted to complain, but yet it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Psalms 126:6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Psalms 126:6, bearing precious seed. What's that talking about? This is precious seed. You got to go with a broken heart. I know. Sometimes we don't have one. Our heart's just not in it. Let's face it. That's how we all are at times. We got to get right with God. He that goeth forth and weepeth. bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing. Bringing his sheaves with him. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. What's the sheaves? That's the wheat. That's the fruit. But we got to go with the seed first. And we got to go with tears. We got to go with the broken heart. We got to go saying, you know what, Monday I'm going to work. I'm headed out there. But you're not going to work just to go to work. You're going to work because you're entering the harvest field. I guess no one's going to school unless you're in the higher grades because it's spring break. But when school gets back in session, we're going back to school. No, we're going to the harvest field. What a privilege we have. This is time to go after the lost. If we love the Lord Jesus and love lost souls, let's get them to Christ. The day is coming when all opportunities to be saved will be gone. If you're here tonight without the Lord, I forgot to read the lesson aims, my bad. If we're here tonight without the Lord, now is the time. Speak to someone before you leave. You have no idea when your life will end. It's a vapor. Appears for a little while and vanishes away. But eternity is a long time. It's not even time, right? Eternity. Oh, I'm so thankful that one day, if you know the Lord, we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. This old world will be done. It will be gone. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. For the first heaven and the first earth will be passed away. There's coming a day. The next time he comes, he'll be coming for you and me if you're saved. No Calvary. He'll just be coming for his bride. Have you joined the bride team? If you haven't, how about tonight? March 15th, 2026 can be your date of spiritual birth. John said this, I close with this. John said to a religious man in chapter 3 by the name of Nicodemus, he was religious from the top of his head to the bottom of his toes. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's not about what you've been taught in the synagogue. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. So you need that spiritual birth. Born again. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'll take just a moment. If you could just thank you for your attention. I know you've been sitting for a fair number of minutes. Thank you for your attention. Just maybe pray even while you're there and ask God to help apply this truth to your heart, whatever way. I know for sure this. I know Jesus is coming. I know that's, I'm sure of that. And I know that there are many people that don't know him as Savior. I'm very sure of that. Some have yet to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. They may know about Christ, but they don't know Christ. Brother Barry, would you shut those doors for me? Would you shut those doors? But it's going to get a little bit loud out there. Thank you. Maybe you know someone tonight that you're not sure if they're saved. I'd ask that you pray for them even right now. Surely you wouldn't want them to go through that judgment that we just read about. Could we take just a moment? I'm a little longer than normal. But I don't really think that's a need to apologize because this is a very important topic. Pray for them. And then maybe you're here even in this room, and while you're here in this room, not maybe about it, but you're here in this room and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure if you died today that you would be in heaven. You're not sure if the trumpet sounded that you'd go up. You might still be left behind. Nobody can twist your arm. You have a free will. And until that free will is humbled and given to God, no one can make you get saved. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't even do that to you. He gives you a free will to choose. If you're not sure you're saved, I would speak to someone before I leave this building. What does it mean to be saved? How do I get this settled? We have plenty of men and ladies that can take the Bible and show you what the Bible says. Not what the Baptists say, but what the Bible says.